Hello, I'm Angela and welcome to this week's edition of the Black Country Talking News for the 11th of March 2026.
Hello and welcome to the Black Country Talking News, brought to you by the sight loss charity Beacon. We're pleased to confirm that the Talking News is now available via Alexa. Once you've enabled the Talking Newspapers skill, all you need to do is play Talking Newspapers and ask for the Black Country Talking News. Our Talking News service is also available via the free Wireless for the Blind app. It can be found on the Beacon Centre website, www.beaconvision.org/talking-news. As a podcast via services such as Apple or Spotify, or as a free CD, simply contact Beacon Centre on 01902 880 111. We hope you enjoy this week's edition.
Reading for you this week, we have me, Angela, Ian, Matthew, Mohammed, Helen, Mina, Simon, and of course, not forgetting Roger. In this week's edition, we have all the latest from Beacon with Helen and Mohammed. From health and well-being to free events and sightseeing, we have the latest news from across the Black Country. And despite another poor weekend of results of Wolves and West Brom, we step back a little further into last week for some more positive vibes from our BBC Young Hero Award winner Fraser, as well as a feature focus on Wolves women. Mina also has the weather forecast for the week ahead. And with plants now in bud or about to burst into flower, you'll have to be blooming sharp of mind as we have a Flower Shop audio-based I Spy Brain Teaser Challenge. Local news to start though with me, Angela, Ian and Matthew.
We start off this week with a reminder about how the NHS in the Black Country is offering a vaccine for the respiratory syncytial virus, RSV, at selected local pharmacies, making it easier than ever for eligible groups to get protected. RSV is an infectious disease of the airways and lungs, which spreads all year round. It often causes symptoms like a cold, such as a runny nose, cough, and fever, and usually gets better by itself. However, for infants and older adults, the virus can lead to more severe illness and hospitalization. Since last September, people aged 75 to 79 have been encouraged to come forward for an RSV vaccination via their GP practice. And from April 1st, 2026, RSV vaccinations will be offered to all adults aged 80 years and over, plus all residents in older adult care homes, regardless of age. Pregnant women over 28 weeks are also offered the vaccine by the maternity service they are receiving antenatal care from to help protect their babies from RSV for the first few months after they're born. Those eligible can also visit a participating pharmacy in the Black Country to get the RSV vaccine as part of a phased national rollout across community pharmacies in England. Appointments can be booked online at a pharmacy that offers the RSV vaccination via the NHS website. RSV vaccinations are also available at a number of pharmacies on a walking basis, with no appointment necessary. You can find the participating pharmacy on the NHS website. As of July 2025, some of the pharmacies participating in the vaccination programme are Bruton's Pharmacy in Bradley, Wolverhampton, Pensfield Pharmacy in Wolverhampton, Eddings Hall Pharmacy in Wolverhampton, Bradley Chemist in Wolverhampton, Phoenix Pharmacy, Phoenix Health Centre in Wolverhampton, Morrison's Pharmacy in Bilston, Wolverhampton, Millard and Bullock in Dudley, PharmaSured LTD in West Bromwich, New Street Pharmacy in West Bromwich, Hilltop Pharmacy in West Bromwich, Masters Pharmacy in Aldbury, Hackley Road Pharmacy in Aldbury, Ashworth Pharmacy in Smethwick, Regent Street Chemist in Smethwick, Victoria Pharmacy in Smethwick, and Vishnu Pharmacy in Smethwick. Sarah Quinton, Deputy Chief Nursing Officer for the NHS Black Country Integrated Care Board, ICB, said, RSV can lead to serious illness, particularly in older adults and pregnant women. Vaccination is a simple and effective way to reduce the risk of complications like pneumonia and bronchiolitis. We're delighted that the RSV vaccine is now available at selected community pharmacies across the Black Country. Pharmacists are highly trained healthcare professionals, and this expansion means more people can get protected quickly and conveniently close to home. Only one dose is needed for long-term protection, and I would encourage anyone eligible to come forward and get vaccinated as soon as possible. For more information about the RSV vaccine, visit the NHS Black Country ICB website.
And an enhanced service is being launched, giving patients in Wolverhampton greater access to evening and weekend appointments for cervical cancer screening. The City of Wolverhampton Council's public health team is working with all primary care networks across the city in a bid to improve cervical cancer screening uptake. The new programme will offer eligible residents more flexible appointments, including evening and weekend clinics, alongside targeted activity reaching out to people who have not booked or who have missed appointments. Practices will proactively contact patients to discuss concerns, tackle myths, and provide reassurance about cervical screening. The programme will also use text messaging and simpler booking processes to make it even easier for residents to attend. Councillor Abid Ahmed, Cabinet Member for Health, Wellbeing and Community, said, "Two women die every day from cervical cancer in England, yet it is one of the most preventable cancers, and attending screening along with vaccination can help prevent it before it starts or enable earlier treatment. Cervical screening rates in Wolverhampton are currently below the national average, and this initiative will help increase awareness, improve access, and support more people to take up screening when it's due." Among the settings taking part in the programme is Penfields Medical Centre. Cam Ahmed, Clinical Director for Unity Primary Care Limited, said, "We know that many patients face barriers to attending cervical screening, whether that is work commitments, caring responsibilities, or anxiety about the test itself. By offering evening and weekend clinics and taking the time to have supportive, reassuring conversations, we are making screening more accessible and less daunting. Working in partnership with the City of Wolverhampton Council's public health team means we can reach more people and help protect the long-term health of our community." Cervical screening looks for abnormal cell changes, which can be treated before they become cancerous. It is estimated that cervical screening prevents 70% of cervical cancer deaths in England, and that if everyone attending screening regularly, 83% of cervical cancer deaths could be prevented. Women and people with a cervix aged between 25 and 64 are invited for screening through their GP every 5 years. Trans men and non-binary people with a cervix may not automatically receive a screening invitation, and therefore should contact their GP or Wolverhampton Sexual Health Service Embrace directly. Cervical cancer may not cause noticeable symptoms in its early stages, but as the disease progresses, common symptoms include unusual vaginal bleeding, like after sex, between periods or after menopause, changes in vaginal discharge, and pelvic pain. Advanced cervical cancer may also cause symptoms like back pain, leg swelling, or problems with urination or bowel movements. For more information about cervical screening, please visit nhs.uk/cervical screening. The HPV vaccine provides protection against human papillomavirus, which is linked to an increased risk of getting some cancers, including cervical cancer. Children aged 12 to 13 are eligible to receive the vaccine in school or at a community clinic, while high-risk groups, including men aged 45 and under who have sex with men, are eligible via Wolverhampton Sexual Health Service Embrace. If someone missed the HPV vaccine when it was offered at school, they can still receive it for free on the NHS. The vaccine is available to women aged 24 and under up to their 25th birthday. and to men born after September 1st, 2006, also up to their 25th birthday. For more information about the HPV vaccination, please visit nhs.uk/vaccinations/HPV-vaccine.
Staying with health and well-being, and a Bridge North personal trainer who set up a postnatal fitness group for mums and their babies is looking to expand their initiative after an explosion in demand. Lauren Baines, who has a 2-year-old son, founded Strong Mamas Club a year ago. The 6-week course, which runs in Wolverhampton, is designed to support women safely back into exercise after they've had a baby. The 33-year-old said, "It is great to see mums putting themselves first, even if it is just for an hour a week." The Mum and Baby Fitness course was launched by the personal trainer, who has a son called Spencer. "I was very lucky because of my profession and my specialism in women's health that I knew what was safe and what would be effective for me during those early postpartum days," she said. "Of course, we need all the focus on baby, but we also need a little bit of care and attention to mum. Your body has just gone through one of the biggest things it is ever going to do with pregnancy and childbirth." After launching in February 2025, the class is now run in Bridge North and Tettenham. "When I started a year ago, there were some companies that existed, but in this past year, it has exploded," Baines said. "The NHS says if you had a straightforward birth, you can start gentle exercise as soon as you feel up to it, but advises leaving high-impact exercise like running until after your 6-week postnatal check. It is getting more and more popular," the personal trainer said. "We all just look after each other. It's really nice." Baines has said her goal is to deliver the program to as many people as possible, adding that she was planning on launching virtual classes in April or May.
Up next, we have the Beacon Update, brought to us by Mohammed.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to the Beacon Update. My name's Mo, and I've got the latest from everything that's been happening here at Beacon. First up, our amazing members have been busy creating something very special. Beacon's brand new thank you card for 2026. The design features a colourful hot air balloon design made from fingerprints with the names of our members helping it soar high into the sky. Throughout the year, this card will be sent to our wonderful donors as a small but heartfelt thank you and token of our appreciation. From donors and volunteers to local businesses and friends, it's our way of sending a big thank you to everyone who supports Beacon and the work we do for people living with sight loss. We'd also like to say a huge congratulations to Michelle, who has reached an incredible milestone. 40 years of delivering care at Beacon. To mark this wonderful occasion, we celebrated with a bottle of bubbly and some well-deserved flowers. But what we're really celebrating is the difference Michelle has made over the years. Across 4 decades, she has given thousands and thousands of hours of care, helping people stay independent, safe, and supported in their own homes. Her dedication, compassion, and commitment and making a difference truly represent what Beacon is all about. Thank you, Michelle, for everything that you've done for the people we support and for being such a valued member of the Beacon family. That's all for this week's Beacon Update. Thanks for listening, and join us again next week where we'll have even more about everything that will be happening here at Beacon. But until then, goodbye.
Thanks for that update, Mohammed. Next up, we have another block of local news.
Red
residents of a Wolverhampton estate are being asked to come forward to help decide on how £20 million of government funding will be spent on the area. The funding to improve Low Hill has been secured from the government's Pride in Place programme, which allows local residents to shape the future of their neighbourhoods. MP Serena Brackenridge is asking for people who live or work on the estate, which recently celebrated its centenary, to volunteer to be board members. Applications are also being taken for a board chair to help lead the investment in local services, activities and infrastructure over the next 10 years. Pride in Place programme is supported by £5 billion worth of funding over the next decade for 284 local communities across Britain. The government said the scheme, which was announced in September, is expanded from its previous Plan for Neighbourhoods programme. It said the new programme focuses on smaller geographies of around 10,000 people, targeting neighbourhood-level pockets of deprivation, which have too often fallen through the cracks of national interventions. The investment will allow locals to improve opportunities for residents, with the money set to be spent over the next decade. Brackenridge called it a once-in-a-generation opportunity. Encouraging people to express their interest for the scheme, she added, "Most importantly, it will not be civil servants who decide how this money is spent. It will be local people." Interested parties have been asked to express their interest to City of Wolverhampton Council by the 16th of March.
And in a broader citywide initiative, the City of Wolverhampton Council has invested in a new high-tech camera car, boosting school patrols across the city and improving safety for pupils. Mobile Enforcement Vehicles, MEV, are equipped with an intelligent enforcement system, which automatically capture evidence of those ignoring school keep clear zones, with fines then sent to drivers. The new vehicle, which is already in action, means double the number of MEV patrols outside schools during school run times. The council has also recently stepped up its foot patrol enforcement near schools at peak times, targeting those parking on pavements, double yellow lines, or flouting other restrictions. Councillor Kayser Azim, City of Wolverhampton Council's Cabinet Member for City Transport, said, "The expansion of our camera car patrol helps us continue tackling dangerous and inconsiderate parking, particularly near schools at busy times. Drivers put pupils at risk by ignoring the rules, and the message is clear. This will not be tolerated. By doubling our mobile enforcement vehicle patrols, we are strengthening our commitment to safer streets and supporting the wider improvements we're making around schools across the city. We want every child to be able to travel safely, and these measures will help us achieve exactly that." Since the first MEV was upgraded with new technology at the start of September last year, it has led to more than 700 penalty charge notices being issued to those illegally parking in school keep clear zones and bus stops, with money reinvested into further enforcement work. The MEVs capture video footage of potential parking violations, which is reviewed by an independent officer. If a contravention is confirmed, a PCN, along with photographic evidence, will be issued by post within 28 days. The increased enforcement work supports safer routes to school measures implemented by the council across the city, including new zebra crossings, speed bumps, improved signage, and school keep clear zones. Even more schools are in line to benefit from these measures during 2026 and 2027. You can report problem parking in school zones and at bus stops, or appeal notices and have a say on road safety via the NHT Public Satisfaction Surveys on the City of Wolverhampton Council website.
Now then, time for some innovation, as the first hydrogen-powered railway shunting locomotive has been unveiled at the region's heritage railway site, the Severn Valley Railway in Kidderminster. Vanguard Sustainable Transport Solutions and the Severn Valley Railway, SVR, marked a major milestone in railway decarbonisation with the official launch to market of the UK's first hydrogen-powered railway shunting locomotive, unveiled at the Heritage Railway's Kidderminster Town Station on Thursday. Developed in the SVR's workshops from the body of a disused Class 08 diesel shunting locomotive, the Hydro Shunter represents a pioneering retrofit solution designed to help carbonize rail operations without the need for significant upfront capital investment in entirely new rolling stock. The hydrogen battery powertrain has been delivered through a groundbreaking collaboration between the Heritage Railway and West Midlands-based SME, Vanguard Sustainable Transport Solutions, a global leader in hydrogen traction technology spun out from Birmingham University 6 years ago. Invited guests, including representatives from mainline railway companies across the UK, heard more about the project's ambition to decarbonise railway locomotives and its potential to transform shunting operations nationwide. Attendees also experienced a UK first, taking a ride in the SVR's vintage observation saloon hauled by the Hydro Shunter along the Heritage Line. Dr. Alexander Burrows, Chief Executive of Vanguard Sustainable Transport Solutions, said, "This is an exciting day for the Vanguard team. To launch the UK's first commercial hydrogen battery railway locomotive powertrain as a retrofit solution is a great achievement. And I am hugely proud of the joint project team from Vanguard and our wonderful partners at the Severn Valley Railway. There is already a lot of interest from potential customers who want to benefit from zero emissions, reduced noise and improved operating costs in a retrofit solution. We have made this investment innovation to drive transport decarbonisation and enable railway locomotives to move to zero emissions without the need for significant upfront capital investment." Gus Dunster, Managing Director of the Severn Valley Railway, said, "Working on this project places the Severn Valley Railway firmly at the forefront of innovation within the heritage sector. We are proud to have helped develop a shunting solution that is emissions-free at the point of use, and we are looking forward to seeing it in regular use at the railway. I'm immensely proud of our team of young volunteers who have worked tirelessly to bring this locomotive to the advanced stage we're seeing today. Their skill, commitment and determination demonstrate the very best of the heritage railway movement. We may be a heritage organisation, but this project shows our vision is firmly fixed on the future."
With plants now in bud or about to burst into flower, you'll have to be blooming sharp of mind, as we have a Flower Shop audio-based I Spy Brain Teaser Challenge. Listen carefully to Soundings contributor Lindsay and find out how many flowers are mentioned in this descriptive conversation at the Flower Shop. Full answers will be listed and detailed later in this week's edition.
TNF Soundings. Features from across the UK.
Clean Sweep Brain Teaser at the Flower Shop. Welcome to Lindsay's Ear Spy activity for yourself or with others. Listen carefully to this one-sided imaginary telephone conversation and find out how many flower names you can recognise along the way. The correct number will be announced at the end. "Must say, Eden, I'm surprised you remembered to phone. Good job you didn't forget me not, else there would be no wedding flowers for you next month. Yes, can confirm your order is top of the list. Just helping out until Iris is back from holiday. No, Daisy cannot manage everything on her own, what with the Rose Festival around the corner. Mind you, everything's difficult and slower here on the island. Eco-friendly, so more bicycle than car nation. Bit of clearing up mostly. Luckily, you caught me on a break. I was about to go through the feedback forms. No one will notice. Perks of the job going through the comments. 3 stars. Although bouquet did arrive on time, the dahlias were somewhat wilted. If such poor quality stock, they should have been replaced with more peonies. First time customer, Lily Baden. Yeah, it could be pronounced Baden, but think I was closer to the exact meaning in this case. Rather unfortunate though, not not usually poor quality stock. Must have been the weather en route for the delivery. Maybe some better ones further down. Here we go. 5 stars. Last minute decision to buy Get Well Posy, and so pleased I did. The daffodil and freesia combination added both cheer and a delightful scent to remind my friend of happier times. Delivered in perfect condition. First time customer, Andy Boyd. Wait a minute. Looks like this next discerning person ordered the same table flowers as you. They gave it 4 stars, Eden. Let's see why. 4 stars. Would have been 5 stars had they arrived day before. My bird of paradise was stressing enough before the wedding. However, they were beautiful and stunning arrangements. So in the end, turned out to be marigold. Repeat customer, Akeo Fuchsia. Bit mean. Says here they ordered them for the exact date so they would be fresh. Seems their wires got crossed in the pre-wedding confusion. Talking of cross. 1 star. Pot plants were not as described. Much smaller ceramic pots than expected, and lavender flowers were different colour lilac to shown on screen. First and last customer, Holly Hock. I know, more snapdragon than sweet pea, that one. Clearly not everyone knows online photos never give a true colour, Eden. Otherwise this customer wouldn't have complained. It's bad enough trying to get certain flowers like tulips out of season, let alone the exact matching colour for an event. This customer's very particular about their parade float last year, all red and white, which meant, well, I'll read it to you. 2 stars. Display materials arrived on time. The chrysanthemum variety was lovely and puffy, like delicate snowballs, perfect for our purposes. Alas, the poinsettias did not like the chill of outdoors, and therefore damaged beyond use. Disappointed, but willing to order replacements. Perhaps a sturdy aster of similar red hue. Referred customer, Arti Gardenia. Yeah, even I know those red bushes are highly sensitive to the cold. What did they expect of a native Aztec Mexican plant? Okay. And I'd best get on with throwing out the old sunflowers. Yes, Eden, already thought of that. I'm going to take the seed and feed them to the birds. Waste not, want not. Bye for now.
DNF Soundings.
Cheers for those questions. I'll get my mind working on them. Up now, however, is another block of local news. Film stars Rita Jagpal Mohan and her 11-year-old son from Dudley have triumphed for a third time in 2 years at a Barcelona film festival. A double win this month at the North Film Festival in Barcelona saw Reese win the prestigious Best Actor in a Short Film Award for his lead role in the Wheel Gone Kid trilogy. They also won the Best Web Series Award, a category they've won 3 times in the last 2 years. Mother Rita said, "For us to get a hat-trick of wins in Europe against such tough competition is amazing, but even more special is seeing Reese win the Best Actor Award." The Dudley duo starred in their first Wheel Gone Kid film when Reese was only 6 years old. Their success at film festivals around the world has included them travelling to Hollywood and New York to collect awards. Their winning trilogy series includes a celebrity appearance from legendary football manager Neil Warnock. Rita added, "Neil was brilliant to work with and inspired us to carry on with our dreams." The dream continues as a top European producer wants to market their latest trilogy at this year's Cannes Film Festival.
How great was that? Best of luck to Rita and Rhys at the Cannes Film Festival. Now then, talking of awards, since its first series in 2013, Peaky Blinders has taken home a number of gongs from glittering ceremonies and festivals. And the life and times of the real-life Peaky Blinders will come under the spotlight at a Black Country History Group's next meeting. Corinne Brazier, Heritage Manager of West Midlands Police Museum, will be giving a talk entitled Rogues, Villains and Peaky Blinders at Sedgley Local History Society on March the 12th. The talk will come just days after the release of the new Peaky Blinders film, The Immortal Man. Visitors are invited to get into the spirit of the event by turning out in Peaky Blinders style fashion if they wish. Corinne has been researching the real-life Peaky Blinders, street gangs who terrorised inner-city Birmingham in the late 19th and early 20th centuries, for the past 9 years. She will talk about career criminals such as Samuel Sheldon, a full-time gambler, George Cloggy Williams, who was jailed for 18 years for killing a police officer. The talk will be held at St Andrew's Church in Bilston Street, Sedgley, starting at 7:30 p.m. Admission is £2.
And whilst on the theme of historic criminal acts from the Black Country, an Elizabethan mansion where the gunpowder plotters made their last stand could be converted into the headquarters of a healthcare provider under plans to restore the building. Concerns have been growing about the future of Holbeach House at Wall Heath near Dudley, since a nursing home that was based in the building closed in 2022. The building, thought to date back to about 1600, had fallen into a state of disrepair since the nursing home closed, and in 2023 it was placed on the Heritage at Risk Register. The National Trust ruled out adding it to its property portfolio. Dudley-based Select Healthcare, which has 21 care homes predominantly in the West Midlands, has now lodged a planning application to turn the Grade 2 listed building into its head office. The company has applied to Dudley Council for permission to remove internal stud walls, carry out repairs to the roof, and repair and repaint existing windows and French doors. An assessment will be carried out of all windows, replacing them like for like where appropriate. If the plans are approved, a link building that joins Holbeach House to an annex previously used for care accommodation will also be demolished. In a statement supporting the application, Neil Ranford of NCR Architectural Design said the building had seen many changes over the centuries, and it was hard to tell which features dated back to the gunpowder plot. But he said damage to the masonry and the front door was believed to have been caused by musket fire during the final siege, which took place on November 7, 1605, when the King's forces finally rounded on the remaining plotters. Oak panelling and the fireplace had distinguishing features relating to the reign of King Charles I or II, and priest hides were also evident. Holbeach's special historic interest, the people who used it, the things that have happened there, the ideas that have been developed there, and the unique role the building played in the nation's history cannot be understated nor undervalued, he said. The associations are nationally and internationally substantiated, not only in the literature, but also in the historic fabric, the physical, touchable aspects. For example, it is understood the front door and walls hold evidence of shots fired from a matchlock musket, that priest hides are evident, and the panelling and fireplace have distinguishing features giving reference to the reign of Charles I or II. Holbeach has a defining spirit of a particular age. Its importance to the local community, its role in collective memory, its status as a landmark are tangible. The application includes a series of photographs showing the current state of the interior, with many historic features but also showing years of deterioration, Holbeach House was originally home to plotter Stephen Littleton, and 2 days after the failed attempt to blow up Parliament, surviving members of the conspiracy took refuge inside the property. During their flight, the plotters' gunpowder had become sodden with rain, and there was an explosion where they tried to dry it in front of the fire. The following morning, the building was surrounded by 200 men, led by Sheriff Richard Walsh. Ringleader Robert Catesby was fatally wounded, and most of the other plotters were either killed or wounded in the ensuing fight. Littleton was executed for attempted treason. The proposals will now be considered by Dudley Council's planning department.
Have you ever had a desire to find old family photos, even those you thought were lost forever? Well, one of the most direct and successful approaches to finding family photos is reaching out to extended family, friends, and the local community. Often, relatives you rarely contact, or even those that you may not even know you have albums, boxes, or digital collections of family photos you've never seen. Consider that over the sands of time, your family shared their photos. Perhaps a parent or grandparent were young when the Brownie camera gained popularity in the early 1900s and photography became more affordable for the general public. A large number of photos would have been shared with friends and family. Many of these photographs then found their way down collateral family lines. So, with a special request in this week's edition, we hear from Beacon Charity Shop volunteer Barry, who is looking for your help to try and find a photo of his beloved father. If, like Barry, you would also like to make a request, contact the Black Country Talking News on 01902 880 111, or you can call, text or leave a WhatsApp voice note on 07849 802 703.
I'm Barry Woodbury, volunteer for 16 years at the Beacon, driving the vans, doing the watches now at the moment, every Thursday, watches and clocks and all that sort of thing. But what I'm looking for is if anybody out there knows of my dad, Albert Woodbury. He was Albert, but they called him Bertie, but I'm doubtful if anybody will be alive today who may have known of him. My dad lived at 20 Atten Street, Bradley, near Bilston. He was born 1910. He worked at Sankey's, Lower Sankey's, at Albert Street. He was a tool setter throughout the war. And what we're looking for now, if anybody could kindly come up with a photo, either a group photo with him on, or something to do with that. And I'll be very happy, because to this stand, nobody in the family have ever seen the granddad or great-granddad. To get in touch, you can find the Beacon on 01902 880 111. Thank you for your help. Hopefully, I've tried in the past for a long time, with no success, and it's getting now too long in the tooth. Maybe this time we might find somebody. Thank you.
Next up, we have another block of local news.
This week marks National Lottery Open Week from the 7th to the 14th of March. And as a thank you to National Lottery players for supporting their conservation work, the National Trust are offering free entry during National Lottery Open Week. So, if you would like to explore the historic grounds of Moseley Old Hall and the house that saved a king, or the gardens and wonder of Whittick Manor, then take along a lottery ticket or scratch card and explore some of our region's attractions for free. Last week also marked the opening of an exhibition at Whittick Manor. exploring the creative domestic lives of an exceptionally talented 19th century English-Italian family of poets, artists, and critics. The Rossettis, Siblings and Spouses, which explores the family's creative and domestic life, including the artistic careers of Elizabeth Siddal and Lucy Maddox Brown, spouses of Dante Gabriel and William Rossetti, opened at Whittick Manor in Wolverhampton on Saturday. Visitors can discover the lives of siblings Maria, Dante Gabriel, William, and Christina, exploring their parents' radical Italian roots and their upbringing in London, then the largest metropolis in the world. The exhibition reveals how this formative environment shaped their later creative achievements as poets, writers, and artists. The Rossettis were crucial not only to the Pre-Raphaelite movement, but also to the Mander family story and legacy. Lady Mander, who along with Sir Geoffrey Mander, donated Whittick Manor and Gardens to the National Trust in 1937, actively acquired artwork by the Rossetti family. Descendants of the family visited the house and became friends of the Manders. Co-curated by Helen Bratt Whiten, National Trust Property Experiences Curator for West Birmingham, Wolverhampton and the Black Country, and Hannah Squire, a freelance curator, the exhibition includes recently acquired and previously unseen works by eldest son Dante Gabriel Rossetti, including his early experiments in lithography, a 19th century printing process widely used for books and fine art. Among them is a set of satirical and political playing cards, until recently attributed to the German artist Overbeck. Displayed throughout the manor, including the library, honeysuckle room and dining room, the exhibition brings together new acquisitions and highlights from Whittick's own collection. Visitors will also have the rare opportunity to see early Rossetti drawings created between the ages of 14 and 18, not displayed since 2019, as well as 12 artworks by Elizabeth Siddal, many rarely shown and only once before displayed together in 2018. Books written by all four siblings are celebrated in the exhibition, from poetry by Dante Gabriel and Christina Rossetti to the pre-Raphaelite magazine The Germ, on which the siblings collaborated, and biographies of the family by younger brother William. In addition to paintings, drawings, and illustrations, the exhibition features objects from Dante Gabriel Rossetti's former home at Cheyne Walk in London. Items on display include books, ceramics, and a death mask of Napoleon Bonaparte, an historical figure who particularly fascinated Dante Gabriel. Helen Bratt Whiten, National Trust Property Experiences Curator for West Birmingham, Wolverhampton, and the Black Country, said, "We're excited to share new artwork never before seen at Whittick Manor and Gardens, and to showcase existing pieces in a new light, allowing visitors to learn more about the stories behind the paintings and the personal lives of the Rossetti family." Through the artwork, visitors can see Christina Rossetti, who, with her brother Dante Gabriel Rossetti, was known as one of the Storms, grow from a young woman depicted mid-tantrum in one piece to a mature and accomplished poet in another, known for works including In the Bleak Midwinter, now sung as a hymn and Christmas carol. The exhibition runs until November. As part of the Manor House display, entry is included with admission to Whittick Manor and Gardens, and is free for National Trust members.
The Region's Heritage Museum, the Black Country Living Museum, will also be opening its doors for free to holders of National Lottery tickets as part of the National Lottery Open Week. The Open Week is a way for National Lottery to say thank you for the millions raised for good causes each week, with hundreds of venues across the UK opening up with free and low-cost days out. The Dudley-based museum is opening for free on Thursday, March the 12th. For lottery ticket holders, and has asked for anyone with a valid lottery ticket to book a slot on the Black Country Living Museum website. This can include a lottery ticket or a scratch card, and is valid for one person per group. A spokeswoman for the museum said, Black Country Living Museum is once again taking part in National Lottery Open Week with free entry to the museum on Thursday, March the 12th for lottery players. To say thank you for the £32 million raised for good causes every week by players, there is free entry and special offers at a range of National Lottery funded venues across the UK as part of National Lottery Open Week. National Lottery Heritage Fund have made a significant investment in our brand new 1940s to 60s development, which sees us bringing our historic storytelling into living memory once again. Set foot into the post-war era in our largest development yet, from a whole high street of shops to a fascinating industrial area. As our way of saying a big thank you to you, the lottery players, we're giving National Lottery players the opportunity to visit the museum for free on Thursday, March the 12th.
And this week, we'll also bring together, for the first time ever, two local big bands to celebrate a century of one of the most influential musical genres ever recorded, jazz. St. Peter's Collegiate Academy Big Band from Wolverhampton and Neil Coley's Big Band from Albury joined forces to present Swing, Sinatra and All That, a programme spanning every decade from 1911 to 2011, from the hot jazz of the 1920s through the swing era of the 1930s right up to the present day. These two bands have something from every decade, representing the hits of Louis Armstrong, Duke Ellington, Count Basie, with even some offerings from Earth, Wind and Fire and Oasis. As if that wasn't enough, the event will be compared by the irrepressible Rich Hazlewood, vocalist and song stylist who might even be persuaded to sing a few numbers by old Blue Eyes Frank Sinatra himself. The event will be held on Monday, March the 16th at Hayward Theatre, St. Peter's Collegiate Academy, Compton Park, Wolverhampton, WV3 9DU. Tickets cost £10, available from the St. Peter's Collegiate Academy website or direct from Ticket Source. For further information, call 01902 558 600. Up now we have to hear what the weather has in store for us. Brought to us, come rain or shine, by our own Sunny Mina.
Hi everyone, it's Mina here with your forecast for the week ahead. And it's very much still rinse and repeat to the next few days, as the region is still locked under this pattern of wet and breezy weather with temperatures continuing to sit at the mild side. The low UV levels shall remain as we hit March, with sunrise and sunset times as follows. 6:20 a.m. for the sunrise and 6:15 p.m. for the sunset. As for the weather, Friday 13th of March is predictably wet and windy, with light rain expected for most of the day. With a moderate breeze drifting up from the southwest, we may see temperatures drop a touch from the 13 degrees of last week to cooler 9 degrees. Moving into the weekend, and temperatures shall continue to remain modest, with highs of 12 degrees across the region. The rain showers should ease off throughout the weekend, allowing a mix of sunshine and showers. Moving into next week, and this pattern of wet and windy weather shall stay with us, with light rain expected from Monday 16th through to Thursday 19th of March, with a moderate southwesterly breeze, keeping temperatures settled at 12 degrees. Very much like last week, some spells of sunshine are expected, but these will continue noticeably less frequent as we move through the week, with Monday providing the best opportunity for a relatively dry day. So, there we have it, yet another settled week of wet and windy weather ahead. Do take care, have a wonderful week, and enjoy the weather.
With Wolves' FA Cup campaign coming to an end after a 3-1 defeat to Liverpool on Friday night, and West Brom continuing to flirt with relegation after salvaging a 1-1 draw away to Sheffield United, we thought we'd try and focus on the positives from the last few weeks. With thanks to our BBC Make a Difference Young Hero Award winner, Fraser, we start off by hearing all about Wolves' 2-1 victory over Liverpool in the Premier League that had Molyneux rocking last Tuesday.
Hi guys, it's Wolves superfan Fraser here. Well, I've just got back from the Wolves-Liverpool game. I can't tell you how good the atmosphere was. Well, I can try and put it into words. It was electric. It was sensational. It was amazing. It was probably one of our best games we've ever played.
The first half was a bit slow and boring, but boy, when the players came out for the second half, gosh, they played amazing. Gomez went and scored a goal for Wolves, and we were 1-0 up to Liverpool. But then Liverpool went and scored a goal, an equaliser, and we were drawing with Liverpool. And I was thinking, oh, that's better than what I was thinking. And then, you never guess what, in extra time, Wolves went and scored another goal, so it was 2-1. And it was Andre that got the goal, and the place went amazing. It was great.
It was great.
And my cousin Jacob here, and we're gonna sing a Wolves song for you now. Ready, Jacob? Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4. Wolverhampton Wanderers. Wolverhampton Wanderers. And when the game ended and we found out we'd won 2-1 against one of the best teams in the world, they're pretty good, the crowd were going absolutely wild. It was like being in the zoo. They were chanting and everything.
Oh my gosh. And we left the game, the fans were absolutely buzzing. I've never seen me granddad so happy in his life. That was a joke, by the way, guys. And I just hoped that on Friday, we beat them again in the cup. And I just want to say something to sign this off now. Come on, me babies!
Now, with thanks to an article written by Karen Davis, Karen is a member of the Wolves Women Advisory Board, a Wolves Foundation trustee, Wolves supporter and proud Wolfrunian, we hear from Talking News contributors Mina and Anaya with a feature focus on how Wolves women are just 7 games away from history.
Football memory is standing on the touchline at Castlecroft watching Wolverhampton Wanderers train in the 1970s. I couldn't have been more than 3 years old, sitting proudly on my dad's shoulders on a warm sunny afternoon, watching the players run past me and onto the pitch. That was the moment that my long and at times torturous journey as a Wolves supporter began. But as a girl, growing up in Wolverhampton in the 1970s and 80s, loving football and playing football were two very different things. Because girls weren't supposed to play. The FA ban on women playing football was only lifted in 1971. It's hard to believe now, but only 55 years ago, women were not allowed to play the beautiful game. I was sporty growing up, as my fabulous PE teacher Miss Mercer would hopefully agree. I represented my school in netball, hockey and athletics, but we couldn't play football. At the time, we didn't question it. That was simply the norm, but looking back, it feels absurd. Of course, I still played football with the kids on my street after school and at weekends, but when it came to supporting a team, it was always the men's game we followed. Fast forward to 2026, and I'm still a Wolves supporter, and like many of you reading this, I've experienced the highs and lows that come with supporting this club. But now, I also proudly support Wolves women. The women's game has changed beyond recognition since my school days. Say, more than 90% of schools offer football to girls, and women's football is one of the fastest growing sports in the world. England's Lionesses have become European champions and household names.
Meanwhile, Wolves women have been quietly blazing a trail for far longer than many people realise, as they started out in 1975, currently competing in the FA Women's National League Northern Premier Division. Wolves women have come agonistically close to promotion to the second tier of women's football, now WS2, in each of the past three seasons under the brilliant management of Dan McNamara. What makes their achievements even more remarkable is that the squad is made up of part-time workers. While many rival teams are fully professional, Wolves players balance football with careers. We have teachers, physiotherapists, and accountants in the current squad, and yet they continue to push professional teams all the way. Last season was particularly tough after coming agonistically close to promotion in recent years. Wolves missed out again, finishing second to a fully professional Nottingham Forest on the final day of the season. But after the match, the players were told that even if they had won the league, the club hadn't submitted the paperwork required to secure promotion to WS2. The disappointment was understandably huge, and the fallout played out publicly across media and social platforms. The CEO then of Wolves, Jeff Shay, apologised to the team and gave a public commitment to support them going forward. The team showed extraordinary resilience, picking themselves up and went again, and have not lost a league match since September 2024. Now they find themselves just 7 games away from promotion. Currently second in the table, Wolves sit just 1 point behind another fully professional side, Burnley, and crucially, they have a game in hand. This season, with the expansion, 3 teams from the third tier will go up, the winners of the southern and northern sections of the league, plus the winners of a playoff between the 2 second place teams. One of the Wolves' remaining games is a huge clash away at Turf Moor against Burnley on 15th of March. The club have put on a free coach to get supporters there following an impressive 3-0 victory away at Middlesbrough last weekend. This fantastic team and coaching staff are within touching distance of history, but they need Wolverhampton behind them.
As we heard on Tuesday night, the atmosphere at Molineux when Wolves men play well is something special. Imagine bringing even a fraction of that noise and passion to the SEAH Stadium in Telford, the ground the women proudly call home. Supporting Wolves women isn't about choosing one team over the other. We are one club and we want both our men's and women's teams competing at the highest level, in the Premier League, still hoping, and the Women's Super League. Women's matches also offer something different. They are welcoming, family-friendly occasions where supporters can enjoy the game without the hostility that can sometimes accompany the men's game. After the whistle, players stay behind to sign autographs and take photos with supporters, making it extra special. For young girls in Wolverhampton, seeing that matters. I know it would have meant the world to me. Why can't girls have permission to dream of becoming professional footballers for our local club? Wolverhampton Wanderers is a cornerstone of the city, embedded in communities, creating opportunities and changing lives through the Wolves Foundation. When Wolves succeed, the whole city feels it and the sense of pride is palpable. But a club with Wolves history should also have its women's team competing at the top level. Seeing Wolves women succeed shows girls something powerful, that football in this city belongs to them too. Because not that long ago, Girls like me didn't even get the chance to try. We watched from the sidelines, kicked a ball around on the street if we were lucky, and accepted that football simply wasn't for us. Today's generation should never have to feel that the game they love isn't open to them. I now have a daughter of my own, and supporting Wolves women comes as naturally to her as it does to my son. Current attendances are around 600. If we can reach over 1,000 for the remaining home game this season, we will be giving this remarkable team the backing they deserve and help build momentum for the future. Because this team has earned that support. They've fought for it. They've sacrificed for it. And they are now just 7 games away from history. Supporting Wolves women isn't just about football. It's about giving the next generation of girls in Wolverhampton, your family, your friends, your community, the opportunities previous generations never had. And for the women who were never given the chance to play between 1921 and 1971, we owe them that much. Tickets for Wolves women's matches can be purchased at wolves.co.uk/tickets-hospitality.
Now, here come the quiz answers.
TNF soundings. Features from across the UK.
Did you recognise the flowers mentioned? Total count was 24. The first florist or flower shop came from humble beginnings in the Netherlands. Most likely a gardener selling flower arrangements from their greenhouse in about 1850. And it was also the Netherlands, later in 1926, who created the first professional floristry qualification exam. Here is the full list of answers read out in the order they were originally spoken. Forget-me-not. Iris. Daisy. Rose. Carnation. Dahlias. Peonies. Lily. Daffodil. Freesia. Bird of Paradise. Marigold. Fuchsia. Lavender. Lilac. Hollyhock. Snapdragon. Sweet pea. Tulips. Chrysanthemum. Poinsettias. Aster. Gardenia. Sunflowers. If you did catch all 24 of them, well done. And if you missed a few, hope you still enjoyed the challenge.
TNF soundings.
So that's it for another edition of the Black Country Talking News. A reminder to our CD listeners who have received CDs in padded envelopes that you don't need to send anything back to us. Thank you for listening. Please note the information and views expressed in this recording does not necessarily represent the views of Beacon or Talking News and were accurate at the time of recording. Mentions of goods and services does not imply endorsement, and whilst every care is taken to supply accurate information, Beacon and Talking News do not undertake liability for any errors. So it's goodbye from all of us. Stay safe. have a good week, and we look forward to bringing you next week's edition of the Black Country Talking News. Ta-ra!